Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled Mountaintop Experiences.
We're now going to read Joshua 3.
Crossing the Jordan. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it, Joshua told the people. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of him. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jephthites, Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So the people broke camp to cross the Jordan. The priests carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. But as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the waters flowing down to the sea of Arabath, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. What a mountaintop experience that is. That's like the experiences you'd never forget if you saw anything like that. And yet Israel still goes on to get things wrong. Now let's look at Luke 9, 37 to 50.
On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child. Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, you faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. While everyone was amazed at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands." But they did not understand this saying. Its meaning was concealed from them, so that they could not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, aware of their inner thoughts, took a little child and put it by his side and said to them, "Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, for the least among you is the greatest." John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for whoever is not against you is for you." This is the word of the Lord.
So you might not realize it, but just before this experience with the demon, so it says on the next day, what happened the previous day? It's the transfiguration. It's where they go up onto the mountaintop and they see Elijah and Moses standing either side of Jesus. And Peter, just like, it just comes out of his mouth. It's like, "Oh, let's like keep you here. Let's make some shrines. You know, let's remember this mountaintop experience because this is amazing," sort of thing. So they have this incredible experience. And then God says to them, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And they're like, "Wow, this is amazing." Then on the next day, they've come down from the mountain. They are met with this child that's possessed by a demon, and the disciples haven't been able to get him out. Now, it's interesting, in all the Gospels, these two stories go together, one after the other. So there's something deliberate happening there. The two go together. You can't, so often we separate them with verses and numbers, and we think, "Oh, that's that, and that's this." Separate stories, but they're very much linked. But why? That's my question today, is why link these together? I think we need to be careful about mountaintop experiences. You know, when we seek after incredible experiences of God, moving times of worship, when we hear God's voice in prayer, or we see visions or dreams, God's given them to you for a purpose, and that's to use them. So when times mountaintop experiences come, you will be challenged. You'll be used by God. Things might come against you. I remember when I was a teenager, and I remember some people going Soul in the City in Manchester, I think it was at the time. And these guys went along, and I respected them. They weren't really Christian. They went along, they came back with all these stories of like Holy Spirit stuff. They've seen healings. And I was like, "Whoa, what is this? I've never heard of this kind of thing." And then within a few weeks, they weren't coming back to church. And they didn't. They kind of drifted away. And so, and the youth, I remember the youth minister, I remember talking to her about it some years after when I was a youth worker. And she was like, she felt like it was a real spiritual attack. They'd had this experience. The eyes were open. "This is real, man. This is amazing." And then they got back home and they were just hit with different things. And those memories of that mountaintop experience kind of fade, or you kind of explain them away, or they don't fit into your current life. And they drifted away, even though they'd experienced that stuff. And I was just confused. And I think the disciples here are confused as well, because they've just had this mountaintop experience. God is here. Jesus is going to dramatically change everything. And then he says, after casting out this demon, he says to them, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands." She's like, "What?" That's going to be confusing, right? This is all-powerful experience. And then this is confusion. Like, what's going on? And then they start arguing over who's the greatest. And I can imagine that being a response, because they've seen Elijah and Moses next to Jesus. They've seen this stuff. And they think, "Well, what about me? I want to be part of this rebellion. I want to be part of this liberation of Israel. I want to be part of God's amazing movement. I want to shine in the transfiguration," just like that. So they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And then God just brings this child in front of them and says, "Whoever is the least among you is the greatest. Again, what's going on? I thought I had this figured out. Confusion and stuff. And yeah, and then someone else is casting out demons in your name. Wait a minute. I thought, Jesus, you were going to be the one, and we are your disciples, so we were going to be important here. Why is this guy doing it? Or that, yeah, this person doesn't say if he's a man or woman. Oh, no, it does. He. So why is this person doing it and not us? And he says, you know, do not stop him. Forever is not against you, it's for you. Again, it's expansive. It's upside down. It's so different to what they expected. It's all getting mixed up. But Jesus knows. He knows. And I think it's in Luke where it says that Moses and Elijah are talking to Jesus about the nature of his departure and what is going to happen in Jerusalem. So Jesus knows the horrors that's coming. The disciples don't know that yet. They just see with blinkered eyes about the glory of Jesus and being his disciple. They don't know what's to come. So when we have mountaintop experiences, be wary. Be thankful that you've seen it, that there's things, and maybe there's things in your life that we've forgotten, or we've explained away, or we've hidden. And to remember those again, and ask God if he wants to use it again, if it's a story, or if it's experience of money, or healing, or something. And then ask God what he wants to do for it, and it might not be what you expect. So let's pray together, and let's ask God. Let's ask God for more mountaintop experience, actually. Let's be brave. I want to be brave. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to come in this country, in this town, and in St. James's Church, and for us individually here this morning. God, we thank you for your scriptures, Lord. We thank you for the richness of the stories that are there, and that it's all just not a self-help book of promotion or cleanliness or like bettering oneself, but it's mixed up with real human experiences, with the ups and the downs. And God, you're part of it all. So Lord, I pray that you would give us mountaintop experiences where we would see you shining. Lord, I pray that for our churches, we've explored what it is to hear your voice. Lord, would you allow us to hear your voice? Would you mold us, mend us, break us into the church that is for you?
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.